Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine. How's everybody doing here today?
Fantastic.
Hey, all right. We are putting the show together with duct tape here today, so hopefully we have a good one on tap. But we are getting ready to take your calls regarding how to win sales from larger competitors. So that is our main topic here for the day. If you have a question about that, about how to compete with larger companies in your local area, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. In the meantime, let me introduce the hosts in the studio. Michelle Bell is here today. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, my God.
Not really
what was
feeling
that?
It.
That
was your voice. That's what we heard.
It was a little whiny. It had a little whine to it.
That was the duct tape.
There she goes. Uh-oh.
You know what, Andy? I'm really, really good. How are you? How's that?
Wow.
Smartass.
Now,
better?
Now we got sexy Michelle.
Now we've got it going. All right, Michelle, thank you very much for that. Joe Haley, how are you today?
Well, hello, Andy. How are you?
Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm terrific.
You sound like a tranny.
Joe's radio voice welcoming everybody to the show here this
happy
morning.
To be here, Andy.
All right, we have a special guest with us today, Sal DiSpirito. Marketing extraordinaire here at ASI. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
This
Good
is
morning,
your first
y'all.
Time on this show, isn't
a second time.
Oh, second time.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been on before.
So I
yes.
must not have been here that first time.
You
so
are not.
I missed the debut, so I'll be here for the second time. How's everything going with you?
Very well. I'm excited to talk about some wonderful hot topics today.
Oh, that you didn't know about it as of about 5 minutes ago. So.
Yes, I took the wrong turn to go to the bathroom.
We are glad to have you. We also have Lauren on the tech board and Vinny getting ready to take your calls. As I said, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. And Joe, if we
Andy,
put you on the air today, what will we give you?
Our fabulous prize pack, $25 Visa gift card, finger puppets, hand fans, and ASI radio drinkware.
There you go. The prize pack can be all yours if you give us a ring. So, Joe, what else is on tap for today's
well,
show?
Well, Andy, we're going to have a recap of what happened last week at the ASI New York show. We have what to expect from the post-millennial workforce, three marketing truths learned the hard way. We also have hiring. Personality trumps skill. Seven things really bold people do. We also have our favorite products, but let's start the social show off in the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with some good news on the jobs front. Payroll firm ADP said last week that private U.S. businesses added nearly 200,000 jobs to their payrolls in March. The gains were led by professional and services firms and transportation and utilities companies. Meanwhile, small businesses added nearly 40% of all the new jobs. Industry acquisition news now's top 40 distributor Safeguard announced that it has acquired Nashville-based financial institution Supplies, Inc. The deal, which closed on April 1, brings Safeguard a Nashville-based presence in the office products and print supply chain management sectors. Some lobbying news now. The PPAI lead event, in which about 70 industry members head to Washington to educate Congress about the promotional products market, is taking place tomorrow and Thursday. Check out Promogram today for complete details. Some sad news to report now. Murray Gold, the founder and former president and CEO of top 40 supplier firm Hit Promotional Products, passed away yesterday. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Well, we got a double shot of the ASI New York show. We're showing two Joe shows today, a recap.
There you go. Two shows straight from ASI
a
New York.
Shot.
A double shot.
Double shot.
Double
it's
shot Tuesday.
Double shot Tuesday here in Counselor Promogram
the
with
the
Joe
hour.
Show. All right. Thank you, Joe. You all right?
I'm good.
You're good?
Okay, good.
All right. We're going to head to the phones right now where we have our friend Leighton Lee on the line. Leighton is with ETS Express, and he's going to give us our product safety minute. Leighton, how are you today?
Oh, good. I'm just trying to mimic you folks by trying to use a sultry voice this morning.
Your voice is sultry anyway.
What are you talking about?
It works for Michelle. It doesn't really work for any of the rest of us. So I would guard against it.
All right,
Leighton, I understand you have phthalates on the mind for today. So what is your...
We have a scintillating topic of phthalates. Well, we've talked about phthalates, you know, periodically, but there's a new piece of legislation that is has been introduced into the Senate. And but before we get to that piece of legislation, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page what phthalates are. Phthalates are plasticizers. They are added. These are chemicals that are added to harder plastics to make them soft and pliable. And the usual suspects as far as different types of plastics are PVC and similar styrene-type plastics. These phthalates have been tested numerous times in various studies to show indications that they are endocrine disruptors, meaning that they disrupt hormones in young children, and where children can start exhibiting characteristics of the opposite sex. Testosterone levels are heightened in females, and estrogen levels are heightened in males. So it's not a good thing, obviously. So CPSC banned six different phthalates when they passed the CPSIA, the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, back in 2008. In that original legislation, CPSC banned phthalates, those six phthalates, for toys and child care products. Child care products are sippy toys, teething rings, anything that a child would, an infant would use for eating, sleeping, and feeding. So, but now this new piece of legislation that was introduced about a week and a half ago intends to extend the ban of phthalates to all children's products, which would run the whole gamut beyond toys and child care products. So any of the items that we sell in our industry to children would be included. Now, that's not a bad thing in my mind, because I think phthalates are should be banned anyways. That's my personal opinion because of the data that is out there. What do we as distributors and suppliers in our industry do? Anything that we are that we intend to sell or give to children 12 years and under, and the children are the intended audience, we should start working on eliminating phthalates anyways out of the plastics from those products. So work with your vendors, talk to your suppliers if you're a distributor to see if there are phthalates that might be in those items, and work with them, partner with your suppliers and factories to ensure that these phthalates start to be eliminated. Whether or not this piece of legislation is going to pass, I'm not sure about it, because it is a dramatic step to expand the scope of CPSIA, but it is something that we should be all thinking about. And that is the scintillating phthalate discussion for this week. So I hope all of you be safe and have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
All right, Leighton, thanks very much for the call. All right, we're going to head back to the phones.
I like the birds in the background there.
Yeah, that was a nice touch, right?
Yeah, it was.
It's very early for Leighton in L.A., or I think he's in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going to head to the calls now to our call-in topic of the day, which is how to win sales from larger competitors. So if you have any questions about that, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. We have some callers on the line already. On line four, we have Marco. Marco, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, thanks. What's your question for the hosts?
So I have three top 40 distributors in my area who all have more staff and more resources than me. I'm clearly losing business to them based on size alone. How can I compete with someone like this?
Don't give up, Marco. Fight the fight. Sal, what do you think?
I'm gonna defer to our marketing person. Sal?
I'm going to talk about this topic a little bit later today, but I think search engine marketing, Marco, has become a very hot topic, and generating leads and new business in a very cost-efficient way. When you think about direct mail and the other channels that you're soliciting business, your cost per leads are up in the $50, $70, $80 range, where it can be in the $10 range for pay-per-click, because when you think about someone searching for promotional products in your area, you can make sure your ads are populating out there, and it's a great way to find opportunities. In the 18 months I've been here, I don't think enough distributors are doing pay-per-click, so I think there's a huge opportunity there. So I would look at some top, it's about several hundred keywords out there. Look at what those are, promotional products, promotional mugs, things you specialize in. Feel how you separate from those distributors and what competitive advantage you give, and build, launch a Google AdWords campaign, or look at doing some search engine marketing. It's becoming a very hot topic, because that's where you can really kind of pull from it new customers.
There you go, Marco. Online can definitely level the playing field. Joe, what do you think?
You know, what I would say is, like, look at the clients you're going after. do they fit what your niche is? You know, work your niches and make sure that you're offering them everything you can, because you're going to become the expert in that niche. And that's why it's your niche, right, Andy?
That's right.
That's why it's your niche. So, you know, find out what the niche is, and you might find out you're not competing against the larger distributors on every order. So work the niches. And then also, if you are competing against them, I mean, you know who the clients are, do they fit what you need to do? Is it just a big order that you're after and it would really help, or do you want to start small with them? So it might be a little back way into that, you know, find that smaller order with a department within a bigger client, and then it might just work its way out.
You know, I think one of the downsides to being a super huge, large company is that you're sometimes not able to offer the personal touch that a smaller company is. So, you know, there's clients out there who really want that continual, consistent one-on-one touch from a distributor company that the large companies just simply aren't able to give because they're moving at a way different pace.
And that all comes back to what Andy said. Keep working at it.
There you go.
You have to. You have to keep working at it.
Keep working. All right, Marco, there you go. Hopefully that gives you some good ideas. Hang on the line so we can get your information for your Visa gift card and prize pack. On line three, we have Karina. Karina, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Doing good. What's your question for the host?
Well, my problem is that I'm not getting the same treatment from suppliers that my competitors are receiving, because I'm friends with a lot of the competitors in my area, so I talk to them regularly, and I know that they're getting higher level service from suppliers than I am. I'm not sure what I could do about that.
Michelle, your suppliers are not being nice.
Yeah, I know. It's probably based on the amount of spend, I would think.
They're treating, they put
clients in different tiers based on who's spending what. I would say to reach out to whoever your rep is at the supplier, develop a relationship with them that goes beyond just phone calls. Perhaps send a thank you gift every once in a while. I remember having some suppliers on different panels of mine that I did at shows, and they said, you know, when they get gifts from suppliers, it could just be, you know, a box of chocolate. It could be, you know, something small, a mug, something. It goes such a long way, and they will go over and above for that particular distributor client, even more so than somebody who's spending, you know, infinitely more money.
You know, I would look at your supplier list, too. You might have to whittle it down and have a few preferred suppliers, so then you're sending them more business. Instead of spreading it around, find out who the people you need to work with are, and then maybe you might be able to get some better attention.
All right. Karina, good luck to you with your supplier relationships, and hang on the line so we can get your information. Okay, we have on line five, we have Stanley. Stanley, how are you today?
Very good. How are you?
Doing good. So what is your comment or question for the host here today?
Well, my question is, when it comes to, you know, winning clients over from largest competitors, and I heard what the other gentleman said about, you know, larger competitors have bigger resources, do you think that just going back to old-fashioned, you know, basics, you know, visiting the competitors, showing up, being face-to-face more often, doing the little things more often better, can actually win over all this technology?
Yes, I think that self-promotion campaigns and direct mail marketing can go a long way. I think people don't do them enough, and when they do them, it's something really special. It's like getting a handwritten thank you note.
I agree. I think that the idea of being present is something that's important when you're talking about a smaller company. You can be you have the ability probably to be a little more present than some of the larger companies might be. So you know, take advantage of that and visit people, and like Michelle says, self-promote yourself with good ideas, and you know, try to get into clients in ways that that larger companies might not be doing. But I would add to that, to Sal's point earlier, there is an opportunity by using technology. I wouldn't say it's just that this all, you know, the personal touch and the being present trumps technology. I think that there is a good opportunity specifically for smaller distributors to reach out to new clients, and like Joe was saying, to new markets in ways that they couldn't really do before. Isn't that right, Sal?
Correct. And the reason I like that benefit is when you think about it, I'm pretty much an e-commerce guy, so I do everything online. On Black Friday, I always make the joke, I'm not the guy getting up coffee at 3 a.m. I'm Cyber Monday, Sal, ordering on Amazon.
Cyber Monday, Sal.
You like that? But, you know, you tend to trust, you know, when you see ads out there in the paid, you adds credibility. So if you have paid ads out there, while, you know, people are searching those keywords, it gives credibility, because my thinking is always, if someone's spending money out there for those positions, then it gives more credibility to the business.
You know, don't forget the personal touch, too. When's their birthday? When's their anniversary? Did they have a kid? You know, is the kid graduating from high school? Is the kid graduating from college? Just those personal touches, you know, so your contact doesn't always have to be sales-related. Like, hey, happy birthday. Thinking of you. Stanley.
There you go. All right. All right, Stanley.
Yeah,
well, good
thank
luck.
You very much.
Good luck with competing against larger companies, and hang on the line so we can get your information. All right, we're going to pause to hear from our show sponsor today, Hanes. But when we get back, we'll continue the conversation about competing with larger companies.
Hanes branded printwear is starting the new year with a new website. Designed for promotional product distributors and screen printers alike, HanesInc.com features high-res product and lifestyle images, marketing materials, videos, upsell techniques, and helpful tips to help you increase your ROI. Our new website allows you to search for products based on colors or product line. Our wholesaler section helpfully lists all products that companies carry, as well as wholesaler contact information. HanesInc.com provides the best tools to sell quality products. Hanes is also proud to unveil the Nano Collection, complete with brand new vintage colors and new styles, such as lightweight, ring-spun, fashion fleece. If retail fashion is what your customers seek, the Nano Collection is where they'll find it. Cheap shirts are cheap. Hanes shirts are better. Visit HanesInc.com.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show, where we've been talking about how smaller distributors can compete against larger ones. And Michelle, this is a hot topic on our Facebook page. What are people saying there?
Adam Brown from Motivator says the two biggest things that will affect selling in the next 10 years are mobile computing and social media. The days of consumers sitting at their desk browsing products on their desktop computers are just about gone. The move to tablets and phones will have consumers looking for quick and simple shopping experiences. Social media will also be changing how customers are expecting to interact with companies and where their influences will be coming from.
It's a good point. The June issue of Counselor, we have a whole bunch of stories on mobile, and it's true. Everything in marketing is moving in that direction, and people need to be ready.
And it makes sense when you think about it. Right now, I think mobile searches are roughly 37% online, and when you have
roughly 37%.
That's pretty specific.
I didn't do the decimal point.
Did you round up or down?
But, you know, when you think about it, Internet's more accessible than it ever was before. It's smartphones, the tablets, and you need to, you know, convert to that without a doubt.
That's great. And then we have David Garthwaite, who says, the small distributor with competitors, he's addressing that one. He says he's taking clients from companies that are much larger than him by offering personal customer service and creative marketing ideas. And he stresses price does not have to be the driving factor, which I really think is the key part there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. All right, you can weigh in on our Facebook page as well on this topic. And we have another caller on line one, and that's Sharon. Sharon, how are you today?
I'm fine. I love your show.
Oh, thank you very much.
I wanted to know how to use – is LinkedIn a good way to get introductions to people in large companies, or how could I maximize that?
We're going to throw that one to Cyber Monday Sal. Sal,
hello, Sharon.
What do you think?
Yes, without a doubt. In fact, I think it's become the Facebook for business professionals, and it's a great way when you think about the caliber of people on LinkedIn and the quality out there that you can get from a business professional. It's a great way to make extensions out there. Everyone's looking for new connections. Everyone's looking for a different way to break into that, and using InMail and LinkedIn is becoming a very popular tactic to do that. In fact, it's one of the things I have circled here internally as an initiative is to redo our LinkedIn profile and really build outward, because it's a great opportunity. You trust those people. It's a little bit more personal. So without a doubt, I would send emails and value using LinkedIn.
I would also say, dovetailing on the topic that we're talking about, it can also be a very good way to do some research on competitors. Mm-hmm. Competitors through all social media outlets have profiles, and they have, they have their salespeople on there. They have their customer service people on there, and there's some information to be found as far as what they're doing and who they're talking with and who their clients are through their social network. So use it from both perspectives, to connect with clients, but also to do some competitive intelligence. I think that's a great way to use it as well.
All right, thank you.
All right, Sharon, thanks very much for the call, and hang on the line so we can get your information for your Visa gift card. Okay, we were all of us were at the ASI New York show last week. Michelle, you made a brief appearance there, but
I just did the hot party.
Michelle came to party. And we appreciated it. Sal, you were there. You had a session on search engine marketing. How did that go?
It went very well. It was very engaging. I had about 50 or 55 people in there. They asked great questions, and they kind of get the concept. And it was a lot of wow moments and explain to them the concept of search engine marketing, how you can find new customers, because not everyone's doing it. And there's thousands of keywords. You know, when you think about all the unique products we have in this industry, what I really explain to them is think what separates you as a competitor and leverage that online. Get those keywords, go after those products, and find your niche. And there's so much just in your local area. So my recommendation is always start locally and build outward as you grow your budget. It's very engaging.
There you
That's
go.
That's great.
And Joe, you were there, of course.
I was.
In full effect.
I was.
What was your favorite moment of the show?
Andy, there were so many. So many.
Do you have one?
Are we showing the videos from the hot party? Is that in today's promogram?
Yes.
Because they're fun.
The hot party video will be in today's
The hot party
program.
Was a good time. Good time to network. So I enjoyed that. Didn't get to see Damon John because I had sidetracked that morning.
Was our TV star.
To be on Fox 5 and, you know, just tell you about the green room there. It was kind of a little bit of a freak circus. They have a professional golf instructor in there. Then Dawn and I show up, you know, people with promotional products. And there's this cast from a new show called An Evening with Janis Joplin. And the producers came in, went to know exactly how long her song was going to be, so they were going to sing it and time it, so the guitar player pulls out the guitar. They start singing that, and then here comes Mary Higgins Clark, the author, comes walking in, she, you know, and she's older than you think.
She's exactly how old I think she is. She's like, what's going on here?
What's going on here? And I get on set, and there's a guy cooking the emu egg.
Here's the thing. I was laying in bed, perhaps a little hungover, at a hotel in New York watching the show because I knew Joe was going to be on. And the segment before Joe was a chef cooking an emu egg. And when I tell you, do not watch something like that when you're hungover. Take my word for it. So he cooked an emu egg.
You.
And then Joe came on. And as I said to Joe, he was fantastic. Those hosts were two of the worst hosts I've ever seen in my life.
There's nothing as special as morning show hosts.
On a third tier market.
They are a breed of their own.
Well, anyway, we had a lot of fun. We're going to purchase that clip, and we will put it on ASICentral.com. So if you come to visit us, you'll be able to see that. Overall, I thought it was a good show. You know, with a smaller size show, it gives you an opportunity to see more because you're not trying to cover as much. You can cover it a lot, you know, more thoroughly. And we showed some cool products that, you know, mm-hmm. we might not have considered or might not have seen if we're running through looking for everything that's completely new. So I thought it was good.
There you
shovels.
Go.
I love the shovels.
What? Oh,
the shovels.
Yes, we showed a shovel.
He's like, what? What was your favorite part, Andy?
I enjoyed Damon John, the founder of FUBU. He was our keynote speaker there, and he was really engaging. I got the opportunity to interview him after his speech, and he was not just smart, but very engaging with the audience. And the audience, by the way, was spilled into the hallway. I believe Sal was one of those who were trying to grab chairs from anywhere in the convention center that they could. So he was quite the draw in New York, and just gave a lot of entrepreneurial success stories, how he sort of, you know, basically he gave his rags to riches type story. But it was pretty interesting. So you can check out that video. What's that, Joe?
Well, no, I'd say with the video, you know, shot the video, and we're waiting in the meet and greet area. Mm-hmm. A very personable guy, too.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. So check out that video in Promogram today as well and on ASICentral.com. All right, Joe, so the millennial workforce is upon us, and people are struggling with how to interact with that, with those millennial workers. What can they do?
Go ahead, Grandpa, tell us.
Well, no, actually, we're not talking about millennials. We're talking about post-millennials.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're talking about
I read it wrong.
Yeah, the generation that's coming after the millennials.
What's their snazzy name?
Aha, here you go. How do you like these? Posts?
Posts?
Posts? Or homelanders?
No.
Come up with something else.
Generation Z is the other one.
Generation Z, I bet
for
that's probably what it is.
Snore. So what are they finding out about this generation? They are intrinsically egalitarian.
How about that?
How about that? How about me being able to say that? So in other words, they're not so activist in that. You know, they are startled by racism and homophobia first, and then they're offended second. So in other words, for them, it's like they can't believe that, you know, anyone could be a racist in the society, anyone could be homophobic in the society. they've grown up in a zero-tolerance climate when it comes to discrimination and mistreatment. So they're all about equality. They're more global and open in mindset than the generations that have come before them. We used to be when we grew up, we were bound by our neighborhood. You know, your middle class, your Irish Catholic. I mean, especially the cities back in the 50s and stuff. You know, your Polish area, your Catholic area, your Jewish area. You know, all those areas. But not so much now because they've been in tune to media like YouTube and Twitter and all this social network that's more global in nature. So they don't have such a homebound, even though they want to call them homelanders, ideology. Their ideology is a little more global.
What age group is this?
Oh, Michelle, I'm glad you asked that. These are young kids, actually. They're not even in the workforce yet, but they're looking at them. Some of them are only 13 or 14 right now. So, you know, everyone should start preparing now for when they come into the workforce. So, a lot of them were raised by Gen Xers, and Gen Xers are a little different than baby boomers. Our parents, who are boomers, were a little different than Andy as a parent. Andy's a Gen Xer, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, they're more about schedule and structure and prying into their kids' privacy, where our parents might have said, you know, we're not going to push their bounds. We're going to let them do their thing. So
Gen Xers are about that? Or about prying into privacy?
Yeah. Oh.
I didn't get the memo on that.
Okay. All right. Well.
Joe did. He prides into privacy.
I'm a boomer, baby. But anyway, when they come into the work part, what should we expect? Well, they're saying in this interview that just like Gen X, just like Gen Y, like everyone has come, the next generation that comes in, they're going to be thought as lazy, entitled, and even narcissists. But they said you have to accept them for who they are because, you know what, they're just like you. And probably a little bit better.
Well, we're looking forward to the lazy and entitled part.
No,
that generation, though, I saw a documentary about them. They, more than any before them, are going to be very into conscious entrepreneurialism, where what they do is also tempered with giving.
Right.
Right.
With being very charitably minded. As far as balancing that with making a profit.
I can see that. You know, and it's not so much with the gamers who need the instant gratification we always talk about with the Gen. The Gen Y, whatever.
Anybody who gratification. Can't see Joe.
These kids will
he's
question.
Using his remote
but
control.
We gotta,
why don't you just get out your abacus?
Anyway, you're not a boomer. Anyway, we'll post this online. You can read the whole article. It's pretty good.
All right. Just make sure to check that out on asicentral.com/radio. Okay, Sal, we have a couple of marketing truths that people have learned the hard way. What are we talking about there?
We're talking about a conference on about digital marketing.
Okay.
And some great truths. I think social media, you always hear that. Everyone's like, got to do social media. But no one thinks about what their strategy is and how to provide value.
Right.
The first lesson learned is, you know, they call it how not to be creepy. But it's really about the fact
what is
that
it, how not,
how
to,
not
be
to be creepy.
Oh, I love that.
You know, and violating the social media policies. Remember, you know, as a subscriber or somebody, you're looking for value. You know, so value that content. Think about what you're trying to accomplish out there and create engaging content. That's what we want to do because you want – to increase your subscribers, but you also want them to come back. So it's not that, as I always call it, the trick to click. Don't, you know, give them value. Don't just get them to take action. You know, the second thing is, now you have that engaging content, don't lose the core of what you're trying to do. If you're trying to sell certain products, you know, make sure, you know, what you're trying to accomplish fits in your overall strategy. So, you know, everyone always talks about dogs and cats are such a popular theme. Let's get that stuff out there. Well, if that doesn't fit with what you're trying to accomplish from a product standpoint, don't just throw out what's popular. You know, have a strategy, have your overall mission, and work towards that.
I think that's really important. I think people lose sight of that with social media. You know, what's the point of you being on there as far as a business is concerned? It's to connect with customers,
right.
It's to interact, it's to engage with people who might be buying your products. Don't lose sight of that, like Sal just said. You know, use your own products, use promotional products within your content to ensure that that's kind of engaging with an audience that might be interested in that.
Yes, absolutely. And then ultimately, it's, again, you're building trust with your customers.
Right.
And trust will, you know, create, you know, them staying with you and other benefits. And then lastly is, you know, As an employer, you have people that, you know, trust people to and split the work out,
mm-hmm.
To generate content. Don't just leave it to one person. You get one voice. You know, stretch it out and empower your staff and empower them for anything, but when you empower them doing the content strategy, they're going to feel you're going to get more value out of what's being put out.
That's a good point. We had a distributor speak at the shows the last couple of weeks whose small company takes an hour off every week, and everybody has to write a blog or come up with some sort of post for their blog. So I think there's like 6 or 7 people at the company, and so in that 1 hour, they get 6 or 7 items, and everybody has to do it. So it's pretty interesting. All right, check out those tips online at asicentral.com/radio, and we have just enough time for Michelle's favorite segment of the show, which is our favorite things. Michelle, you lead us off.
You know, it's really not. You guys say
it is,
every week.
It's really not.
You have to own that. Monday morning, she just starts talking about it, and we can't shut her up.
Mine is from Bay State Specialties, ASI 38980, and it is this cute little plastic, I don't know how to explain it, like this little cylinder or like a little test tube that you put into the ground, and it measures how much rain has come down, which would have been helpful yesterday.
That's good for
we
the last couple
pummeled
days.
Yesterday.
A rain gauge?
Perhaps.
Michelle, coming with a rain gauge.
Right,
okay,
rain gauge.
Joe, you're up.
All right, mine's called the Grid It, and this is from a company called Cocoon Innovations, ASI 45582. And it's an organizer for your briefcase, for your backpack, for your travel bag. It's a crisscross of elastic straps, and then you find a strap that fits your whatever you want to put under there, and you can organize it. Rather than have to hunt through your bag, you pull your Grid It out, and there's your stuff. I have my cell phone on there, my glasses. I have my lens cleaner. I have my chapstick because I need soft lips. What else? I have a pen in there, too. This could be custom colors with the straps for, you know, a certain amount ordered. They can also customize the stitching around the end, and they can put a tag in there, too. So you can find them online at www.cocoonbags.com.
All right, very good. Mine comes from Graphco Line, which is ASI 57956, and it is great for all homeowners. It's a combination reversible screwdriver and ballpoint pen. Check it out online right now at asicentral.com/radio. Unfortunately, we are all out of time for today. Sal, thanks for joining us on this special show.
Thank you, Sal.
Thank you to our listeners, and thank you to our sponsor today, which is Hanes. That's it. We're done.
Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Same time, same place next week.
You saved us all.
It's all the time. It would have had to just be the